Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Needless to say, you don't play favorites, but every family has a natural unspoken hierarchy. Longest legs up front, shortest kid in the way back, and the one with the best attitude? Right smack dab in the middle. Sorry, buddy. The first ever Lexus TX is a three-row SUV where everybody wins. With loads of elbow room, cargo room, and leg room. For everyone, no matter where they sit. This is a new era of three-row luxury. The Lexus TX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 84 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually taking place, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services, so go back and fill up those boots. And if you have a spare 30 seconds, please rate and review the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. It helps us be more discoverable to listeners who haven't heard about us yet. And now for this week's episode. Earlier in the year, we had the pleasure to visit the incredible show An American in Paris. I don't think we have covered a show that was so full of triple threats and, you know, maybe even quadruple threats. Singing, acting, dancing, stage technicians and stage management. There was so little in the way of automation of the set pieces coming on and off the stage. It was, dazzling is about the word I could use. It was dazzling to see so much movement from the company pushing and pulling set pieces in between incredibly complicated singing and even more complicated dancing numbers. Well, if you got to see it, you'd know what I'm talking about. But if you didn't, that's why I'm bringing you the episode today. An American in Paris will be in UK cinemas this week on the 16th and 20th of May before heading over to the US and Canada in September. Now, I talked to members of the company about what it felt like putting on such a beloved show and how far out of their comfort zones the journey of putting on the show took them. Just to explain a little bit, there were a lot of professionals in this company. There were ballet dancers who had never done musical theater, so had never sung or done that type of dancing before. And there were a lot of musical theater professionals who had never danced ballet since they were kids. So there was a lot of support in that way. I think you'll get a real feel of that in this episode. Now, we're going to start with Kristen McGarity, who came back after an injury imposed almost 4-year break to take on the alternate of the lead role in the musical. And that was a hell of a dance. To come back from 4 years off and dance this part was pretty incredible. You'll then hear from a ton of ensemble and swing members from the company. And there are so many that have pretty much the same stories about what it was like on this show. Have a listen.
So you classically trained ballet?
Yes. Yeah, so
is this kind of out of your box, as it
yeah.
were? I mean,
it's
you know, because it's acting. Because listen, it is an incredible performance, Kristen. It's so good.
Oh,
like
thank you.
I just was so invested in you. I was desperate for you to be happy at the end.
Oh, good.
But
good.
So I mean, as an actor, like yeah. having that is great. I mean, I had no idea that you were a ballet dancer. I thought you were an actor who just could do that. So
no,
and sing. I mean, how you're the like they talk about a triple threat. There are a lot of triple threats in this show.
There are. I don't know if I could include myself in that, but because I feel like this has been a huge learning curve for me, this show and this role, completely new to acting and singing. I have my own band and I songwrite, and so I have used my voice on stage before, but again it's like such a different
yeah.
way to use my voice yeah. to retrain in a musical theatre style. At the beginning they just said you sound too modern, and it was trying to learn I did. I had to train my voice with Mark Malin, who's an incredible singing coach. But it's been just, for me, like, the most amazing journey, because I suppose when I was a dancer, I always... There was always something that I just, like... I love what I do, but I feel like maybe something's missing, and to have the opportunity to play this role has just been amazing, because to get my teeth into a role like this, and had an amazing acting coach, Jeff Coleman, along the way, and, you know, it's like a whole new world has been opened to me, like learning about Stanislavski method and really getting out of my comfort zone and learning new skills. I think that has to be one of the highlights of doing this role, because it's so nice to not just be labelled or put in a box as a dancer, and to be able to go here, like, there's scenes and like, and there's a song and to have that mixture of art, and to be able to do it in one role is so special.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
And were you all classically trained dancers?
There is a mix, but yeah, there are a lot of classically trained and musical theatre trained people. Yeah.
It's definitely heavy dance, isn't it? Dance based.
That's one of the heaviest dances we've seen.
Heavy is a good word.
We'll probably ever do.
So if dancing was really that, yes, you're in musical theatre, but do you have to kind of step outside of your comfort zone when you kind of came into the role, and how supportive has it been in that case? And
Go for it. I think, well, I came from nothing but ballet background before, so I've never done musical theatre before. It was a huge learning curve. And I think there are a couple of us in the show that have had less musical theatre experience than you would expect for a show like this. It was a very quick learning curve to catch up with everybody that had, and I didn't even know what a swing was before I'll be that, whatever that is.
You played on the playground.
Exactly. From that side of things, it was, a big challenge. But it's been great.
But we all felt like that with the ballet side of things as well. Mm. I think, like, a lot of people felt really intimidated by that at first. So it was kind of nice that everyone was in the same boat.
We were all scared.
Yeah, and intimidated.
Yeah. The choreography was a little bit daunting, I suppose.
That was a little bit daunting for us, because obviously we're around a lot of very, very ridiculously talented.
Background-wise, there are a lot of ballet dancers in this.
Yeah.
You know, strictly kind of come on and done that only, and have come and said, right, we've got to sing now, and we've got to act, and you guys come from, you know, acting or musical theatre background or whatever, and kind of go, right, here's some reels and...
It's been quite a melting pot, actually, the people that have come together in the company, a real melting pot of just different people coming from different areas of the business that work creatively but don't necessarily know exactly the path that you've had or vice versa. So it's been really interesting to get to know all those people.
I mean, we both come from musical theatre background, so we had touched on, you know, a bit of tap, but nowhere near what the calibre of what these guys are bringing. And then you to put on top of that, you've got ballet dancers from very prestigious kind of companies, you know, from around the world. So that was exciting, but daunting at the same time. For us,
this is the biggest kind of group of triple threats I've ever seen on stage. And coming from it from different, I mean, all triple threats have one kind of strength.
Sure.
But just being able to dance like that and sing like that and then act like that and kind of really have the audience invested, that's pretty special.
I think what is most special about this particular job is every single person was out of their comfort zone at some point, including the director. It was his first directorial debut.
Oh, nice.
So we all were learning something from each other. There was nobody who felt like a get egoic or anything. You know, we were all learning and vulnerable at one point, which I think brings people closer together because you're kind of exposing yourself.
Yeah.
50% of this company have never spoken or sung on stage before this production.
And the stage just went out there,
especially the understudies. Like, those are huge roles.
Yeah.
And they just didn't even kind of hesitate. They just were totally exposed, totally bare on stage. And you think, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They've taught me a lot, actually. Just get on and do it and... Yeah, learn and learn fast and feel fast and all that.
Kind of.
Massive support from everyone straight away. So the people who might never have opened their mouths on stage before were sort of looking to those of us that have, you know, and were just so kind, saying, "But how?" And harmonies, learning harmonies.
Yeah.
They'd never learnt a harmony before, and they seemed so impressed with us. But we were like, "No, seriously, when you dance like that, when you just did 7 pirouettes, or
don't even think twice."
You know, and when you're on point just or in a beautiful lift, and but they do that all the time, that's what they do. So these sort of two worlds coming together, but this massive mutual respect for each side meant just that it was like one big warm hug the whole time.
You know, that's what's great is that's what I've heard tonight from everyone, the swings, the ensembles, to you know, the main casts. That's what's been pretty special about listening to Flame. Brilliant, guys.
It's pushed a lot of people out of their comfort zones, because it's pushed, because everybody was out of their comfort zones, whether it be someone who hasn't done ballet doing ballet, whether, you know, a ballet dancer who's never heard their own voice over a mic, because everyone's out of their comfort zone. At the beginning, it brought everyone together, so there was no judging. Like, people that had never done ballet were at that ballet bar at 10 a.m. in the morning going, right, what's the plie?
Yeah.
Which was great. And obviously, and then those people weren't strong there, but then when we came to the singing, those people were like belting it out, and the ballet dancer was like, okay, what's this? What do we do?
People
here
really did nurture each other.
Yeah,
it
was really good.
It was really,
really
nice.
Cool.
Really
and
nice.
Those of us who aren't dancers.
Yes, well, you did dance. I saw you today.
I did, yeah. I feel chuffed just having to dance at 100 miles an hour with all these trained dancers and without the need for paramedics waiting in the wings. But one of the most enjoyable aspects, not just for me, but for other people, other non-dancers, is watching these guys at the tail end of their warm-up doing their pirouettes and everything. Yeah. That's really beautiful to watch.
Yeah. Well, as a company, like, you guys really support it. It really, really works. It just seems to be one unit. It really flows as well. There's always movement on stage, which is amazing.
Has to work.
But also you get a chance to kind of stretch acting muscles as well, which is because if you don't believe those bits, then you've lost us.
Yeah. This is the first time I've played a part in my own right in a kind of way, and it's been really weird. Even rehearsals, just, you know, the director going, okay, and what do you think about this? Sorry? Like, oh, because obviously as an ensemble dancer, you're pretty much always told
yeah,
stand on 7 and 8 and whatever, but... absolutely, yeah, it's been a great experience. And for people, for the first time, covering people, like, there's been a lot of ballet dancers covering lead roles.
Well, personally, I've never done 8 shows a week for a whole year.
Yeah.
I'm from a ballet background myself. And you do sort of 8 shows a week from the company I was in, like, maybe for 6-7 weeks a month, and then you'd go back to the studio and rehearse a different ballet. So to do that the whole year, I kind of... thought, how mentally am I going to be able to sustain this?
Yeah.
Physically, it wasn't too bad. You kind of get used to how, you know, your body's going to feel and what you need to do during the day to make sure that you can put a show on. But I think, yeah, mentally it was fine. It was quite challenging.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, did you have any experience as well?
I would say that I was probably one of the few people that have done proper ballet companies and musical theatre.
Right.
I started my transition a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And so it was really interesting for me in rehearsals when there was maybe a little bit of conflict between interests, people that are, say, used to doing ballet class 8 times a week, or people that are used to equity contracts, and how it all sort of works out. And I could really see both sides of it, but what was so amazing about this is that, say, in like vocal call, when people that had never been in a vocal call before were terrified, the people that were more experienced there would turn around and be like, oh, we're on this page, or this is what we're doing now. And then when we were learning the ballet, and they would say a ballet step, and someone would turn around and be like,
wait, what's that? Someone else would then show them, and so everyone was really good about sharing their skill set, and no one was worried about their downfall, essentially. Everyone wanted to learn from everyone else.
Oh, my lord, that is a lot of dancing, a lot of pushing and pulling. Like, the energy that it takes. I mean, how did you guys...
I find it's mind over matter.
Really?
Yeah, you just have to tell yourself you do it, and then you do.
Because it's a lot of dancing. I mean, this level of dancing, I imagine, is very physically intense and kind of risky when you're doing it 8 times a week that much. I mean, because as classical dancers don't do 8 performances a week because they have to give their body rest.
Yeah. There's been a lot of physio this year.
Yeah, maintenance.
A lot of maintenance.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
A lot of body conditioning.
I think once you're dancing, it's okay. But it's the push and the pull that goes with it.
Yeah, because the mirrors look huge, and the trees and the all the bits and pieces that the pianos and the bars and.
We've got a lovely company, so that's helped a lot. Yeah. Like, we all get on really well. Like, when people are down, we're really supportive and stuff. So that's really been a big factor this year, I think, in getting us all through it.
We all started on the same page, pretty much, apart from Robbie and Liam. We all learnt it together, and there's a real camaraderie, because when we're all in that ballet and it's really difficult at the end of the show, you kind of just... You look around, everyone's giving 100%.
So it's a hard week, and we get to the all skate, it's called, and we come forward, and we all go, woo! Like, it kind of gets you through it, you know?
Yeah. That's a brilliant...
But the music as well. The music as well. And
a couple of stories I wanted to add in this episode. There's a first of which involves the number of spike marks on the stage, or those of you who aren't familiar with the terminology, these are the marks on the stage where pieces of scenery have to hit exactly, or else the lighting, and especially in this show, the video elements of the show wouldn't work properly.
It's incredible to watch that stuff come in and how... Those panels keep getting used, but something completely different.
I really strongly remember that we'd have an afternoon just for panels. And we'd kind of, we're all taught how to hold them, how to move them, you know, really safely. And then we'd get to the choreography of the panels, and it was like,
you know, AK.
You've just got to move it. Like, because it's so quick. And there's like Danny, I think, little tiny girl has to run across the whole stage, swivel it around, and put it at the end of something in like 8 counts.
Well, I've never seen, I've been in quite a few musicals in my time, never seen such a marked floor ever.
I mean it's like a
dot to dot coloring
it's
in
like 317
the strings used to have like
nightmares about
questions like little
nervous breakdowns
they do competitions so Burrell's what colour, like all of us we didn't really know, because we just knew our colours.
I can't wait to talk to them about the
but
tracks,
they I think that was something they really struggled with.
And lastly, I have to tell you how much I admire the swings. I love swings. I like to call them super swings. You've heard me in this podcast talk, bring you stories of swings and talk about how much I like swings. And we've even had an episode previously of the swings that weren't on in this show, in An American in Paris, during this particular show. And the guys that you just heard, they were all getting ready to go on stage. So swings are literally the saviors of shows. If they weren't there, the show would not go on. They cover illnesses, holidays, public transport nightmares, injuries, you name it. If a cast member has it, the swing is there to save it. And it was no different on this show. Have a listen.
Excellent. Yeah. And it is a... talking to Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few injuries, lots of
videos. Yes, I've had some myself.
Okay, so you guys have been busy as swings?
Yes. Oh, my God. Absolutely. Where I've had moments where all three of us in here, we've had to learn... girls' tracks. It's going
really?
For girls. Yeah, I had to learn a girls' track in half an hour. I had like 30 minutes. Like, and I've had a point where I've had my dance captain with an iPad who knows literally every step in the show, following me around in the wings, saying, "Okay, you're going to go on this scene. You're going to do this. You're going to take that, move that there, and then going to come off." And then as I'm getting changed, he's teaching me the next scene because we were so cut just because of injuries, holidays, sickness. Like, it's all. That's why there are so many swings. There are 13. Well, we had 13. There are 12. One got pregnant. Left, but
Frankie Jenner.
So that's, you guys have been busy, so it's not...
Oh, you know, absolutely. We've practically been on for
weeks.
For
first week?
I was on the day before press night. Which was my first show. Yeah, day before press night. When we got to maybe July, we'd done 80 performances, and out of 80, only 3 didn't have swings on. 3. Since the big first show, which is...
That's incredible.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's not normal. No. It's not normal to have this many swings, let alone be on.
There you have it. The Company of an American in Paris, the London West End cast. Before we wrap up, if you are a theater professional, you need to head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, away you go. Show the world what you've been up to and who you've been working with. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. That's all lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Positive or negative, doesn't matter. Just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. It leaves me to say a massive thank you to the Company of American in Paris. I would love to name check them all, but it would double the length of this episode. This was one of the biggest companies we've ever had the pleasure to meet. I will put a link to the production's Curtain Call show page in the podcast show notes. If you didn't catch the show, remember, you can see it this week on the 16th and 20th in cinemas in the UK. And if you're listening in Canada or the US of A, you'll have to wait until September. But book your tickets. You don't want to miss this one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.